Father, we don't know how to thank you enough for your goodness and mercy. That you would condescend until that sinners like ourselves rejoice in you is an amazing thing. So we realize when we look at ourselves, we are indeed, Father, it's not overstating the case, what you said about Israel there in Isaiah chapter 1. We really are, without your blood, filled with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Crown of our head, the sole of our feet. We know a lot of people would think that is a crazy thing to say, but Lord, we know it's the truth. The Bible said it is, and we know ourselves to some extent. Even Paul said, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And he even mourned because of that. He called himself a wretched man. So Lord, we know in ourselves we are wretched indeed, but we also realize that amazingly that we give you the light when we offer our worship to you, when it's saturated with the fragrance of Jesus Christ. And you even said the prayer of the upright, you're the light. And so, Lord, we thank you so very much for being able to come and offer praise. I thank you for every song that's sung tonight, the prayers that were prayed to you, the incense to you, I know it was. And I pray, Lord, we could, all of us, try to be obedient to what we heard preached today and go to a higher level. Father, you deserve our best in the men's song. Help us to be renewed in our zeal, Lord, to serve you better than we have in the past. And give us tonight that motivation and strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is kind of what I'm going to call a specialty sermon. It may just be a Bible study. I hope it'll be a sermon. We'll see how it goes. And I'm going to tell you how this started, because I'm still in the book of John, but I don't preach on John tonight. I hope you'll be praying and studying through that third chapter. I'm really gratified some of you are actually in your Bible studies at home going through the book of John. I'm going to try to pick the pace up a little bit. I've been in the third chapter around verse 11, 12, 14, all up to 16 probably, Sunday. But anyway, let me tell you how this came about. I read the Bible in my daily Bible reading. I came across over in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 36. I'm going to give you 25 scriptures tonight. So if you don't take notes, take them. Let me say something about note taking. Do it the way it helps you the most. Some people, it doesn't help them a bit. Some people ought to and don't. What I do is just take selective notes. When a thought hits me, I know I need to remember. I try to write that down. I don't try to take every, like a stenographer, I don't do that most of the time. Some of you do, that's fine. Some of you, so anyway, whatever you, but you ought to try to some way retain the Word of God that we hear, because we'll lose it if we don't try to retain it. But anyway, here's what I want to go to. I want to talk about tonight, the topic is going to be called, What Are You Filled With? And I think it would fit in perfectly with what Brother Billy preached this morning. What are you filled with? And what got me on this was over the ninth chapter of Acts, when Dorcas died, this good woman, Tabitha, and Dorcas, had two names there, died. And then Peter went down there, and the Lord used him to bring her back to life. But we know she had a good widow woman. She had a widow woman and a good woman. And when she died, the people were just grieving and mourning. But this expression just got a hold of me, so I decided, I'm going to study this out. What do you feel with? Look over, and we're all full of something. We're filled with something. And so I got some negatives tonight, mainly some positives. I want mainly positives. I like to stimulate us. But this is what got me on this, so that's why I'm going to read it first. In the ninth chapter of Acts 36, this is just great. And you know, we think about great things. They were not just great things. I'm sure they're great in God's sight, but we need to be filled with things in our daily lives. And many of you are. And I thank God for that. I hope we'll all be stimulated to do more of this, be filled with the good things in our lives as we live. But here's what it said about Dorcas. I said, man, I got to say this out. Now, this is 936, Acts 936. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She was full of good works and alms deeds. If you read the context, she was a seamstress. And what she did, she assorted clothes for those widow women. So that was her good work. Isn't that great? Nothing real big and earth-shaking, but this woman, the widows were weeping because their benefactor had been taken from them, the one they loved so much. That just touched my heart. The Lord noticed that this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. And alms deeds are deeds of mercy. She didn't do anything to help folks. She's so in love with widow women. And so she's full. That's what her life was full of. So let's go and read some of these scriptures. And the first one I want to look at is Jesus Christ, because he's our example. He was a man. He was a God-man, and that's a mystery. We don't totally understand all this, but he was a God-man. Let's look at him as a God-man. Look at him first of all. Over in John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that beautiful? He was really full of grace and truth. Full of grace, full of truth. We ought to emulate that. We won't be as full as he is. But he was full of grace and full of truth. And being full of grace, it's going to manifest itself even in our speech. Let me turn right now. I wasn't going to use this part, but I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 4, I believe it is, and look at the verse. I don't want to miss the verse. If I'm full of grace and truth, I think it's going to manifest itself in a lot of different ways. Even in my speech. And Bob Billy's even talked today about us being warm, about being hot and being affectionate and all that. And even speaking to each other in that kind of way to encourage each other and when he talked about that being hot over there in Revelation. So this is an amazing verse. If I'm full of grace, like Jesus Christ, but full of grace and truth, it can manifest itself in the way I speak. And not only to people who are strangers, it'd be a people in my own home. It'd be our own. You know, sometimes I say things to Judy because I'm so close to her that I shouldn't say. I get sharp with her when I would probably put up a front with you. But I won't put up a front with her, and it's terrible, so I may say something to cut her in my own home. Maybe it's some of my own church members. So we need to be always on the guard. But this is great. If we're going to be like Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, and we know he was full of gracious words, that's the only kind of word that came out of his mouth. Isn't this a great verse in chapter 3, verse 6? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, sometimes you eat something, you got to put a little salt on it to flavor it. And isn't it good when you commit an individual, his speech is flavored with salt and grace, and that it just brings the best out of somebody, encourages somebody. So John 1:14, he's full of grace and truth. Okay, a few more things about Christ. I'm just hitting the top on all this. I have a lot more verses than 25 in my study. I look up everything I can find. New Testament on fullness, filth, all those kind of words. Over in Luke 2:40, this is Jesus Christ. This is kind of a mystery here. It's a mystery. The reason I say it's a mystery, he was God, but he's also a man. And as man, he grew. Isn't that amazing? He actually grew as man. I'm going to make a statement about that also. As I go to another scripture here, some more thoughts will come to my mind, but let's read this verse first of all. The child, this is Jesus Christ, look at the context, this is Luke 2:40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. He was full of wisdom. So if we're going to emulate him, we need to be full of wisdom, don't we? And we can ask that wisdom, because James says we can, and James tells us some of the characteristics of it. Proverbs is full of it, so if we want to be wise, we want to be like Jesus Christ, we've got to be wise. But I want to read you a verse about this. See, as an individual, he grew and waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. But I want to turn here in a loop somewhere. I've got to find it. Give me a minute here to find this. I heard a sermon this one time that really did amaze me. It's over in Luke 2:52. Look at this. Now, I'm going to give you a little sermon here without a sermon. This is an amazing thing. Because Jesus Christ is man, this is what it said about him. Now, Luke 2:52, it's Jesus Christ now, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Think about that. He's already omniscient. That means he already knows everything of God. But the man, he increased in wisdom. So that can't be totally understood. It's got to be believed. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He grew as a, you know, he, in his physical structure. And in favor with God and man. And amazing, he grew in favor with God and favor with man. So what this is a little sermonette now, so you might want to write this down good. The man that preached this said, there are four elements that we got to think about, and each one of them affects the other. All right? Great, Jesus increased in wisdom. That's mental. He increased in wisdom. He also increased in stature. That's physical. He increased in favor with God. That's spiritual. And he increased in favor with man. That's social. And isn't that good? He said all those affect the others. If I'm not getting along with man, it's going to affect my relationship with God. If I'm not getting along with God, it's going to affect my relationship with man. If I'm have some physical problems, the devil can use it to drag me down. And so I think all those go together. So remember those four things. The Jesus increased in wisdom, that's mental, stature, physical, in favor with God, that's spiritual, in favor with man, that's social. And so we have to work on all those in our lives. They affect each other. Okay, let's look at Jesus a little bit more. This is over in Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And we're supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost. But let me give you a caveat on this. It's very important I do this. The charismatics, I don't mean every charismatic, because some of them are genuine Christians. Some of them are not, some of them really aren't. They can't possibly be. Some of them are not. These real wild ones that make some wild claims like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, they're not even Christians. I mean, you can say what you want to, they're not. Can't possibly be the claims they make. And so I heard a man one time say, we can do anything Jesus did because we've got the Holy Ghost like he had. But there's a caveat I've got to give you from John chapter 3, I think it is. We ought to be full of the Holy Spirit, but we won't be like Jesus Christ. Because it says this in John 3:34. Remember this. Write this one down, John 3:34. I can't do what Jesus Christ did. Like the charismatics say I can, the wild charismatics. They say, well, he's full of the Spirit, you're full of the Spirit. But it's different. Because it said here in John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the word of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him. He gives it by measure to us, but not to him. He's got the fullness of it, total fullness of it. But we get it by measure. Don't forget that. But still, though, he was full of the Spirit. Christ did what he did as a man by the Holy Spirit. And then over in Colossians 2:9, these are mind blowers. This is a mind blower. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God, everything God was in Jesus Christ. Now that's amazing scripture. Someday I hope to preach on that. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is not inferior to God the Father in any sense. All the cults say he was. Now get that, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you name them. The cults, that's what makes them a cult. They don't have the right view of Jesus Christ. They all say some great things about Jesus Christ, but they don't say good enough things about Jesus Christ. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses say he's a God, he's not the God. They're wrong about that. So don't ever forget that, right? In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now this is encouraging. Let me give you three scriptures together that would encourage us about Jesus Christ. We need to be full of the, we need to be, do things, right? We need to be strong Christians. We can't do it on our own. But we got all the resources we need. I'm going to give you three scriptures that will show that we have all the resources we need. That's amazing. All right, first of all, in Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All fullness dwell in him. Okay, but here's the encouraging part. Look over in John 1:16, which I mentioned this when I preached through John 1:16. Now, I just got through reading it. Please, the Father, in him shall all fullness dwell. Now, get this in verse 16, John 1:16. And of his fullness have we received. Isn't that great? And grace for grace. We draw, it's like he's a great big fountain of grace, a great big fountain of fullness, and we draw fullness from him. That one wave after another of grace coming in. Of his fullness have we received. You know, I'm amazed sometimes how many times God blesses. I've been alive for a long time, and I've been so blessed so many times. God, surely you're going to run out of grace. Surely you're going to get tired of blessing him if he doesn't. It's just more and more grace. My daddy, when he was dying, I didn't know he was dying when he had congestive heart failure for several months. But he had quit working. And I was in college, and so I didn't really spend enough time with days I wish I had. But Jerry McMahon was living with us at that time. Jerry McMahon was a friend of ours living with us. And he said that he sat out there talking about daddy for hours. And daddy had a hard life. He had to quit schooling in the fifth grade to make a living for the family because his daddy got hurt. So he had a pretty tough life. And then he had a heart attack. We thought he was going to die before mama did. Then he lost his wife after he only had her for 19 and a half years. So you think that he might be a little bit down, but he's just like Brother Billy Lawrence. Jerry said that all my dad would do was, he knew he was going to die pretty soon. All he could do is he said, I just can't believe how good God's been to me. He'll just start talking about how good God's been to him. I just can't believe how good God's been to me. And I want to give you some encouragement right now, too. I wasn't going to say this to him, but I'm going to say it. If you want some encouragement, get on the website of Johnny and her friends, Johnny Erickson Tyler, the woman who's been paralyzed for so long, and what an incredible spirit she's got. I've seen people that have a tenth of trouble she's got that just be getting better and bright. But Johnny's a breath of fresh air. I'm sure she's not perfect, but she's a breath of fresh air. She's kind of like my dad was, kind of like Brother Billy, like we all ought to be. God's grace is not going to run out. Sometimes we think it's not going to run out. And also, Paul prayed that. Over in Ephesians 3:19, he prayed that. As to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that great? So those three verses go together. That we draw from him, and we all want to go to another level. If we live to be a long time, we still keep going to more and more levels because we hadn't exalted his fullness. Okay, now, we will someday, thank God, be filled with what we want. This is a promise. I'm going to give you a promise that God gives us. This is over in Matthew 5:6. We want to be perfect. We all want to be perfect. And we just kick ourselves around. We ought to kick ourselves around a little bit every now and then, probably. Not too much, unless the devil just gets you down and put a foot on your neck. But I want to do better. And I'm not satisfied. And I got bad news and good news. The bad news is you're never going to be satisfied in this life, totally. The good news is you will be fully satisfied one of these days. Oh, I guess I'll be satisfied. We follow singing at the end of the sermon. I will be satisfied someday. And Christ said I would. This is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled again. Filled. Isn't that great? We're hungry now. We're hungry. But someday we'll be filled. Now, let's talk about some things we ought to be filled with. And I'm just hitting the top. Not using one tenth of scripture that I found. I knew it wouldn't be expedient to do that. We ought to be full of the Word of God. Now, this is a word picture this time. This is when they had the loaves and fishes. And the Lord fed them. And I think it's a symbol of the Word of God, really, because the Lord took the loaves and fishes. He broke them. He gave his disciples to give the people. He said, directly give to the people. And God can still directly do things. But his newly appointed method is for his servants to take what little they got and give it to him. And he breaks it. He gives it back to them. And then he can really do something with it. But then we don't need to waste it. That's why I'm talking about we ought to take notes sometimes. We ought to do something to try to retain what we hear preached and what we read, the Word of God. And so you know what it says in Mark 6:43? They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And you'll be amazed sometime with those little fragments. Maybe just what you need. You know what? There have been times in my life when some word of God I'd even forgotten I'd studied. It's just exactly what I needed. Like that time in India when I was so down, all of a sudden it came to me, if you should mark iniquities, who should stand? And that's saved my bacon there in India. I tell you it did, because I'm about ready to come home. And when I knew I had it made when I tripped and came to me. And I even forgot it's in the Bible. All right, now look, we ought to be full of the Holy Spirit, right? That's a command of God, by the way. It's an imperative mood. And I could have given a lot of verses on this, but I won't. I'll give you two or three on this. But it says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, for it is excess, but be full of the Spirit. And then he tells how to be filled with the Spirit. He tells how we be acting, behaving if we do that. We can hinder that a lot of different ways. And I didn't even think about that today. One verse I gave you is in the Ephesians letter. I'm not sure where it is. So I'm not going to try to find it right now. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the redemption. You can grieve the Spirit of God by our speech, our behavior, by our attitude, by not being close to God, we can grieve Him. And He won't go away, but He's a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. If I were to do something really nasty, it'd grieve Beauty. If I said some terrible thing, it'd grieve her. Because she's a good woman. She's a human being. Well, Jesus Christ is not a human being. The Holy Spirit is not a human being. He's a person, though. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby the Spirit of redemption. But a couple places, and the Bible's full of this. You know this. But I'm just going to give you a couple places about the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts is full of that. In fact, somebody one time said, he may be right, Acts ought to be called, it says the Acts of the Apostles ought to be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because really, God's servants who are acting under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So Peter, not on Pentecost this time, but after Pentecost, and he was being challenged by these Sanhedrin court. You can imagine how that must have been. Think about old Peter, just an old country boy, did not have a formal education. He's an intelligent man with no formal education. We know he's an unlearned, ignorant man. And so all these real big, powerful rulers and these doctors of the law that challenged him. And so he's not cowed down one bit. So we wonder in our world we live in, that when we get cowed down, we have increasingly secular society that's trying to hinder Christian speech. You can't hardly even say anything about the Lord anymore. Usually, even if you mention, like even Hannah and Thomas, the last time that they had a procedure up at Knoxville, they had a real good interview from a television station, but they cut them off a long time before they said much about the Lord. And that's what they do today. Well, do we have the boldness to stand up? Peter had incredible opposition, but it says this in Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel," then he told them how to carry the cabbage. He preached it to them. He was afraid of them. And then, even when they've been threatened and beaten, and we have not had that to happen yet, they've been beaten, and a lot of people in the world, this is happening to them. I'm sure the Holy Spirit blessed them. And in 4:31, and when they prayed, by the way, they didn't pray, "Lord, take the heat off of us." That's probably what I'd want to pray first until I grow a little bit. They didn't pray, "Lord, take the heat off of us. We got this beaten. We've been embarrassed publicly." But they prayed God would make them bold. They prayed they'd be filled with the Spirit of God. And it says this in the 431. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembling together. They're assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the Word of God with boldness. So that helps us to speak the Word of God with boldness when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's true of preachers, too. Y'all pray for preachers all the time. Because we want people to like us, and we would tend to pull our punches. Now, I'm speaking for myself. I know I'm not the only one. And I pray for God, Lord, make me preach the truth. And I want you to pray that for me, too. I pray, Lord, if I chicken out, if I'm not bold enough, I hope you'll get a hold of me, and you'll make me say things I don't even want to say. Okay, now let's look at a few. I'm going to close on a good note, but I'm going to look at some bad things first. It's possible to be filled with bad things. It's not possible for a child of God to be filled with bad things the same way one that's not born again, but we can still resemble this to an extent. The Pharisees were very religious people. Very religious people. In fact, they awed the general populace because they were so scrupulous in their ceremonial behavior. And they were just, the people were awed by them. They had a lot of influence, amazing influence. And they were very, very self-sufficient. And they were so brazen, they even criticized Jesus Christ, you know, constantly. They thought they were superior to Jesus Christ. But hear what Christ said about them in Matthew 23:28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They were full of the wrong things. So my sermon is, what are you filled with? They're filled with hypocrisy and iniquity. In the fourth chapter of Luke, 4:28, this is an amazing thing, absolutely amazing. All the Lord did was preach. He preached from Isaiah. And it's amazing. And here's what happened. And this is true today in the world in general. Illiberals, Islamics, atheists, you name it. And this is amazing. This is amazing. And they all in the synagogue, and this was Jesus' hometown, people who knew him. They'd been raised here in Nazareth. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Filled with wrath. Tell me you what happened on the 7th chapter of Acts when they stoned Stephen to death. They were filled with wrath there, too, because they heard the word God preached. So we shouldn't expect that any different today. And then the same, similar thing over, man, it's amazing, when the Lord did some healing on the Sabbath day in Luke 6:11. And they were filled with madness. Just almost went crazy. And communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. We got to get rid of this guy. We can't put up with this. They're filled with madness. Now Romans 3:14, and I can read a lot here, I won't. Because this is Romans 3, this is a big section in here on total depravity. And I think about the Islamics when I think about this. Not only them, because it does say in one place, it says, destruction and misery in their ways. There's no fear of God before their eyes. They're finished with the shed blood. So yeah, that really comes to true today, doesn't it? When you've got a whole raft of material on people being crucified today, children getting their heads chopped off, people being mutilated. Just, I mean, a lot of it going on, lots of it going on in the world today. But it says this in Romans 3:14, and we can see this, even in the press, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And one more that I'll give only on this bad stuff. The Bible's full of bad stuff you'd be filled with too. But this is something that we Christian men won't be the same degree these people are here, but we still need to be careful. Right? Get this. This is something we don't think about. We have to fight this all the time. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery. They cannot see from sin. Beguiling an unstable soul, and heart they have exercised a covetous practice, which curses children. So we know we have to all guard our eyes and guard our heart. We've got to do that. We know that. We try to encourage each other in that. But these men have eyes full, they don't even try to control it. They just satiate their lust. Don't try to fight it. Having eyes full of adultery. Now, I want to close on a good note. I don't want to close on a negative note. Let's look at a few things. I'm conscious of good works and graces we ought to be full of. If I've got time, we can have some discussion if you want to. I think this is good work represented here. Over in John 2, I already talked about this. But when they did fill the water pots with water, it says this. When he told them to fill the water pots with John 2:7, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them to the brim. That's got to be good work. That's all they could do. So just do the best you can. We can't do the miraculous like the Lord did, but we can do what we're supposed to do. and leave the results in God's hands. But the thing is, they fill them to the brim. They fill them to the brim. All right, now Barnabas, we want to be used of the Lord. I hope all of us want to be used of the Lord, and Barnabas was used of the Lord. He was not as famous as Paul. He took a back seat to Paul. He was a real problem in the first part of Acts. But he's the kind of man I like to kind of be like Barnabas. He's an encourager. Like they nicknamed him that, the son of consolation, the apostle named him that. He consoled people. He encouraged people. And when the Lord got the gospel to the Gentiles, guess who he sent down there? They sent Barnabas down there because they knew he'd have an open mind. He would be full of customs like some of the Judaizers were. So I love this in the 11th chapter of Acts. When he got down there to Antioch, they heard there's something going on down in Antioch. They heard. So they sent Barnabas down there, and he was just thrilled with what happened. Acts 11:24, he is a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. But people asked, Lord, he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Okay, that's great. That's the kind of man God used, a man full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. All right, what about our deacons? And we got deacons. I'm not bragging on them to just butter them up. We've got four. I want them to grow like I want to grow as a pastor. I want them to step up to the next level like I want to step up to the next level. But I can say the pastor, that I want to give public and commend our deacons. Because they're men who have not been yes men to me. They think I'm awful something, they'll tell me, but they do it in a respectful manner. And we do some praying together. We need to even do more of that. But I feel good. I feel like I got some men who hold my hands up. And so, but what makes a man a good deacon? And so we want our deacons to even do better than they have on this. And so y'all pray for them on this. This is Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. That's what makes a deacon a good deacon. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of wisdom. And so one key to that is prayer. Let me say something about that. See, prayer is part of that. I get that from Luke 11:13. It's that wonderful lesson there when Jesus gave that lesson on the importunity in prayer. You know, he talked about if a man comes to you at midnight and he wants to feed his company and you want to open up the door, he keeps beating on the door until you open the door. Then he says that Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So our deacons need to pray constantly for more and more of the thing of the Holy Spirit. And about wisdom, he says the same thing about wisdom in James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, he gives liberally to all men that upbraideth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So our deacons need to be men of prayer, like our preachers need to be men of prayer. So y'all pray for those deacons. Okay, so two or three more things now. This is Jesus' last discourse to his disciples. You find that in John 14, 15, and 16. And so this is what he said. He'd been talking to them, his last message to them. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, your joy might be full. He wants to be full of joy. That's not unrealistic. It doesn't mean that we won't be down sometimes. Don't mean we won't be grieving sometimes, but basically, most of the time we're just full of joy, even in bad situations. Because he's spoken this thing to us, we need to keep remembering what he said. Now, let me give you a powerful verse. This brought about a whole revolution in Christian, this one verse brought about a whole revolution in Christian counseling. This is the verse that motivated J. Adams, who did a great work back in the 70s. He based his book called Competent to Counsel on this verse I'm fixing to give you. It's like, what is something? His theme was that the average Christian, if he is going to do what I'm fixing to read to you in a minute, he's a man that's able to counsel other Christians instead of going to some professional. And so here, and he's talking to the church at Rome, not talking to just the preachers, talking to the church at Rome, which I'm sure includes the sisters. And here what he says is great. It's Romans 15:14. I think some of this going on in Great Chapel. I think we have people counseling each other. I really believe we have this going on. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish or literally counsel one another. Isn't that beautiful? What's the qualifications? Having a big degree? No. Having some professional training? No. You're full of goodness. We know it's relative because we're all, but still, it means it. And you're filled with knowledge. It's got to be Bible knowledge. So, let's just say there's a husband and wife who don't have much of an education, but they're godly people. They've lived together for a long time. They've had a good marriage. And that husband and wife, filled with goodness, full of knowledge, would be a lot better counselor to some young couple if they get married, some professional counselor. Isn't that good? Some daddy who's been a good daddy, he's tried to be a good daddy, and he's tried to raise his children right, and there's some troubled child somewhere, that daddy probably be a lot better counselor, filled with goodness and full of knowledge, than would be some professional who doesn't know what he's talking about except from a book. So we all want to be full of goodness and full of knowledge. All right. One of my very favorite verses. I'm always saying that. This is one of my very favorites. I got favorites, I got very favorites. This is one of my very favorites. This is a great thing. Paul prayed this he wanted this for the Philippians. I just love this verse. This is Philippians 1:11. Three parts to it. Three part sermon. I won't preach the whole sermon. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Not just have a few of them. You're filled with the fruits of righteousness. Of course, you're by Jesus Christ. Can't do it on your own. To the glory and praise of God. Three-point sermon. You're being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We ought to want to be as good as we can be. As obedient as we can be. And we got to depend on God to do it. Got to walk with Him every day. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Of course, you're by Jesus Christ. And the motive ought to be the glory and praise of God. Isn't that beautiful? And see, the Lord said that in John 15:8. Here is my Father glorified. You bear, what's my next word? Much fruit. Isn't that great? If we bear much fruit, we all want to bear a lot of fruit. All right. My last verse. I love this verse. I haven't ever preached this verse yet. I really enjoy memorizing it. I had a hard time with this verse. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. And I can say it now well. Every time I say it, I feel a good glow because it took me months to be able to say this thing without missing a word. There's something powerful here. Something powerful in this verse. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. It's a powerhouse verse. God wants them to know something. I mean, God's better than we can imagine, folks. He's much better than we can imagine. We can go to higher levels. They're out there for us. There's weapons and tools and graces. I don't know what to say. Listen. Paul praying to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be comforted. Being knit together in love, and this next expression is a powerful expression, unto all riches of a full assurance of understanding. It took me a long time to get that down. Y'all can probably beat me on memorizing. I mean, I had to work on all to get every word right. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of Christ. He wants them to know Jesus Christ. He has transformed this in you, Jesus Christ. So, I will close with saying, and if we get these participation, I welcome it. What do you feel with? What do you feel with? That's how you've got to fill up with these graces and fill up with these Holy Spirit and not be filled with these bad things that would hinder us.